Today's gospel tells us that our Lord went through the grain fields. Back in the year 397, a man by the name of Saint Hilary of Poitiers died. And he did something that the early interpreters of the gospels did all the time. They interpreted these stories allegorically. And listen to what Saint Hilary says about this particular passage. He wrote, "Christ's passing through the field signifies his passing through the world in his incarnation. The standing grain is the harvest of souls ready to believe in the gospel and to be gathered into the church by hungry disciples. The standing grain are those ready to receive the gospel, and the hungry disciples are those desiring to welcome people into the church." Yesterday, I met with a person who hadn't been to church in years and years and years, and he emailed me a couple of weeks ago, and he said he just wanted to get together to talk. And so over a cup of tea, we spent an hour, and here's a man in his midlife who was beginning to hunger for God, a man who said, 18 months ago, I was an atheist. Now, there is this hunger, this beginning of a desire for what St. Augustine said so beautifully at the beginning of his Confessions, "God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And that seems to be at the heart of St. Hilary's reading of this text, the allegorical interpretation, that we, as the disciples of Jesus, are to hunger for souls. We are to hunger to see St. Peter's become a community that more and more is a place where people come to have their spiritual hunger and thirst satiated. But we always need to have a deeper perspective and understanding of how what it is we do, particularly at Mass, is the fulfillment of the fullness of the biblical tradition. And nothing highlights this more vividly than what Jesus says in today's gospel. It's a difficult text because Jesus assumes that we know the Old Testament background to what he is saying. But the most striking thing that Jesus says is he says, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." Now, for a Jewish person, Yahweh, and if you were at Mass yesterday, you'll remember that the Lord says to Moses, "I am who I am." That's what Yahweh means, the great I am. Only Yahweh is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so for Jesus to say that he is the Sabbath's Lord, understandably caused the Pharisees to be shocked. But that's not all Jesus says. He doesn't only say that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, but by saying that, he says, all of the Jewish ritual, everything that you have practiced is now subordinate to me. And in order to make his point, he goes on to refer to David, the Levitical priesthood, and the temple. David, the Levitical priesthood, and the temple. Let's talk about each of them briefly in turn. So as he and the disciples are eating the grain on the Sabbath, Jesus refers back to 1 Samuel 21, where we hear the story of David and his companions who went in to the house of God, where they ate the bread that's called the bread of the presence. And the only people that were to eat that bread were to be the priests. But Jesus says, there's nowhere in the Old Testament that it declares that David and his companions were guilty. No, that they were free to eat of this bread. Now keep in mind for a moment the phrase, bread of the presence. It's very important. But then Jesus goes on to move from David, who represented the Davidic kingdom, the lordship, to talking about the Levitical priests. And what did they do? Well, in the temple, each week they would have to replace the bread of the presence, and they would do that on the Sabbath. They, in other words, had to work. And at no time were they declared guilty for the work they had to do. And then Jesus gets really bold. For a first century Jew, there was no jurisdiction of greater importance than the Jerusalem temple. You might remember that the Herodian temple took decades to build. And when Jesus was with us in the flesh, they were still building it, only to then be destroyed between the years 66 and 70 AD. But what Jesus says is, not only am I the Lord of the Sabbath, but someone greater than the temple is here. Wow. You might be familiar with the word the Synoptic Gospels. The word synopsis means summary. And the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the reason they're called Synoptic Gospels is, in a very real way, they are a summary, a very detailed summary of Jesus' life. And many of them have the same stories. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this controversial encounter. But I compared Matthew's account with Mark and Luke this morning, and I discovered something that I hadn't realized before. Only in Matthew does Jesus refer to the fact that he is greater than the temple. Luke doesn't have that reference. Mark doesn't have that reference. Why is that significant? Well, Mark and Luke were writing primarily to Gentiles, to non-Jews. Matthew was writing to Jews. And so for Jesus in Matthew's gospel to say someone greater than the temple is here means that God's presence is no longer primarily going to be found in the temple, but it's found in me. Now, with that in mind, remember what Matthew says at the beginning of his gospel in reference to Jesus. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And the very last verse of Matthew's gospel is that famous line, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Remarkable. For the Jew, the temple represented the presence of God. But Jesus says, it's no longer the temple, it's now me. Now, in conclusion, tie that in with our first reading from the book of Exodus, the story of the Passover. What does it say at the end of that story? That this liturgy, this memorial, is an ordinance. That is, it's a command. It's something you are to do time and time and time again. Now, what about for us? What ordinance, what command has been given to us? Do this in memory of me. And what is it that we do in memory? Not just once a week, not just yearly at the Passover, but every day in every Roman Catholic Church around the world, the bread of the presence, Jesus Christ, who is greater than the temple, is present to us and is to be present in us. I'm so appreciative that the more I read the Bible as a Roman Catholic, the more it comes together and the more it makes sense. So my beloved St. Peter's family, do you understand what this means for us? That as we long more for Jesus, as we allow him to satisfy our deepest hungers, in turn, we are to be like those hungry disciples who hunger for a world that is lost to come, to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to recognize that here, within his church, he is present in the bread of the presence.